Adam Rosenbach's in the studio talking homemade haircut horror stories at the moment. One of the things that we mentioned on the way through, Rosie, before was knits. The mere mention of knits makes you want to scratch your head.
I do remember having them. I remember that evil shampoo that we had to have and that steel comb that would Dad would and it
oh,
always
yeah,
Dad
yeah.
and it always
oh,
could,
yeah.
it always gouge it through your skull like he was trying to deepen a you know the Port Phillip Bay.
So a mate of ours, mate of mine, Paul Harvey, is sent through a text about knits, and he said this. So this is a public service announcement in case you're worried about getting knits. Knits have had an explosion due to people taking group selfies. True fact, says Harv.
Right, so we're all putting our heads together and transferring it so easily.
Yeah, it's like that Dustin Hoffman movie where people started coughing in cinemas, you know, and everyone gets the Ebola virus.
Don't know that particular film.
Outbreak, it's a great film.
Sure it is.
It's a great
film.
It's
exactly like that.
So be very careful if you're planning this weekend to go out somewhere and take a whole lot of, you know, how happy are we and look at us all very happy and how beautiful are we group selfies.
You know what though?
Check people's hair out before you do it.
I like the idea that everyone has knits now because remember when there was like one kid that had knits and that was like, you're an outcast you were the only one with knits. But if everyone's got it, then we're all even. We're all equal.
Very good point.
We're all disgustingly flea ridden.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
Malcolm in Cheltenham. Give us your homemade horror haircut story, Malcolm.
I was at the stage when I was just a young teenager and starting to be a bit concerned about having my hair a bit longer. And, you know, you'd come home from the barber and your dad would say, so have you had a haircut? And say, yeah. And he'd say, oh, which one? You know, the,
of course,
the classic answer. Yeah. And then so it was due for another haircut and went down the local barber and sat in the seat and said, look, mate, just a little trim off here and a little bit off there and stuff like that. And the guy gets out the razor or the, you know, the buzzer and starts hacking. You know, I said, oh, no, just a little bit off there. He said, no, no, mate, your mum rang and told me not to listen to a word you were saying and started just doing the full-on crew cut. So that was all over.
Perfect, Malcolm. Just listen, the one thing I wish, though, particularly in our neck of the woods, I just wish there were a few more barbershops around.
Oh, in the northern suburbs, yeah. In the north. No, they're just, come on, guys, just lift your game. Like, if you want to wear, like, a pirate hat and you know, with a parrot on your shoulder and cut my hair, go for it. That's what I love.
Honestly,
you know what?
In the space of a week in a block
in
on
Smith Street, yeah.
Four new barbershops have opened up in the last week.
And the only accreditation that you need is that you're a hipster. You don't have to be able to cut hair. And that they give you a beer. And you're like, oh, let me have the beer. And now my beer is full of hair. This is great.
Right.
It's actually the worst place for a beer in the world.
It's a very good point you raise. Paul's in Reservoir. Give us your horror story, Paul.
Oh, mate, I reckon you'll do hard to top this. This happened about 25 years ago when my kids were little. Mm. My wife was having a bath and the kids are all 4 and 2 and whatnot. They said they wanted to give her a shampoo and a haircut. And and my wife said, yes, but you can't cut. You can just use the brush and the comb. So I've gone in to supervise them. They've got out I've put the shampoo next to the back of the bath and the comb and everything, and I thought, we can't go wrong here, and they started shampooing her hair, so I thought I was safe to duck next door and check the football score. So I've gone next door into the lounge room. Suddenly I hear this almighty scream from my wife, and I've come back, and what they've done is they've grabbed the tube of my wife's depilatory cream.
Oh, yes.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
And now it gets rid of your hair.
Oh, the stuff, the hair remover?
Yeah.
Yeah, the hair remover.
Oh, no.
And they've put that in their hair, and they're shampooing my wife's hair with the hair remover.
And it's just burning off, it's just burning off their scalp.
She'd come out looking like Gary Abler Jr.
Oh, Mil Hannah. You've never heard a scream like it. I've run inside it because it's half shampoo and it's half this. I can't think what the brand was. It was like a white liquid, and they've got it all through her hair.
Like
and
Nair.
My wife's looking at it, and she's saying, get them out. I've got to get under the shower. And as it turned out, half her hair fell out.
She looks like she's lived in Chernobyl for 6 months.
That's a disaster. Be careful, kids. Be careful. Aaron's in. Thanks for your story, Paul. Aaron's in Hastings. Good stuff coming through on the AGN open line, by the way. Az, tell us your horror story with a haircut.
All right. it's about me cutting my own hair, actually. I was getting ready for the New Year's Eve party and having a couple of drinks, and I decided to get the razors out and lost power halfway through. So I've actually gone to the party with a dodgy haircut.
You could have stayed home.
No, you can't. You can't stay home.
You could have stayed home. Worn a beanie, worn a cap. There's a number of ways around this, I reckon.
No, you leave the house and you own that haircut.
No, good man. Yeah. Hey, Aaron, because you bowled up and you've had a go, I've got a $100 voucher for you as well to the Dingley Hotel, 334 Boundary Road, mate. Go and enjoy yourself and have a good haircut when you go there. Don't forget, Adam Rosenbach is in the studio with us right now, being part of all this silliness. He's on Up the Guts after the game tonight. On Fox Footy. So once the game's over and done with, if you're watching it on Fox, leave it there. If you're watching it on 7, flip over to Fox after the footy and catch up with Rosie and the crew on Up the Guts. Cheers, not jeers. If you've got somebody you want to cheer and not jeer, feel free to do so on the other side of the break. I've still got another voucher for the Dingley Hotel to give away. Anything else you want to throw into the mix?
Well, we want to know what people have thrown.
Oh.
Off the back of Nick Kyrgios's meltdown.
Chucking everything.
Last night.
Righto, if you've chucked something.
What have you thrown? Because Nick Kyrgios threw a chair onto the court.
And his racket, and his bag, and a chair. So, yeah.
I love the chair.
The chair was pretty big.
So what have you thrown?
Yeah, right. You want to know. That and jeers on the other side of this. And Adam Rosenbach's in the studio, just having a lighthearted work our way through the last hour, as we always do on a Friday here on afternoons. Cheers, not jeers. If you've got somebody, we spend a lot of time getting negative, Rosie, on radio.
We do.
Criticising people for this and that, and started the show off today, and this sort of feeds into both of our conversations. A bit disappointed with what Nick Kyrgios did overnight.
What he said. I'm not disappointed with what he did.
No, very good distinction. Thank you.
What he said was disgraceful, and he should hopefully get in trouble for that, like real trouble. I think people...
Define real trouble in the... Put your serious hat on for a minute here. You're a sports fan. Define what... If Nick Kyrgios is to get into real trouble for what he said, what he said, that's a really good distinction. What does real trouble look like?
If anyone hasn't heard, it was a derogatory term for disabled people.
Yep.
Or handicapped people. And I don't think a fine's going to hurt him because he's got way too much money. I think he just needs to spend time with, around the people and their families and see what kind of effect that has. I reckon that's the only way an idiot like he will learn.
That's a really good point.
Put him in the shoes of the family and what they go through. You know, they have to understand what his words do and, you know, mean to people.
Yeah. I think that's a really fair call. So we spent a lot of time, you know, jeering people for buggering up and making blues and getting a few things wrong. We like finishing the show on a pretty positive note. So 1-300-736-736. Anybody you want to cheer as opposed to jeer to round the show? And I've still got a $100 voucher for the Dingley Hotel to give away to the best call between now and 3 o'clock. There's a couple I reckon we should put on the agenda right from the word go.
What do you got?
I've got Sean Grigg.
Oh, yeah.
Announces his retirement. The best thing to do for the footy club, clearly the mid-season draft has changed, I think, the timing for AFL clubs. They now know that rather than give a player the rest of the season to just in case, I think, and Sean, we had Sean on the show during the week, and he admitted that he knew this was coming up and he was less than more likely to be able to get himself back to play. So rather than take the spot up with the prospect that he wasn't going to be able to get himself into playing Nick by the end of the year, make the call now. Call now, free up the spot. Richmond want to use it, they can.
So on that, do you think that the Western Bulldogs went to Tom Boyd and said, look, we know your troubles. We'd prefer you did it before?
Well, some people said that about Boyd yesterday when the decision came through, and it might be fortuitous from a Western Bulldog perspective that happened, but I don't think so with Boyd. I think reading the stuff today...
Well, the way they've come out, you would think that they didn't do that.
No, it sounds like Boyd was more of a surprise to a shock announcement to a lot of people around the Western Bulldogs. And you listen to Luke Beveridge today. I mean, this is not something that he was ready for. He was clearly
highly
emotional.
He was really
emotional.
Upset.
He was.
It was incredible. And I think cheers to Footscray for the way they've handled it.
Absolutely. No doubt. And they've obviously known that Boyd's had some pressure that has been a bit, you know, extra.
Yes.
So you can obviously throw Tom Boyd in there and, you know, Sean Grigg. I'm going to throw Ben Simmons in. I think the news that confirmation that he will be part of the Boomers campaign, the two games against the Americans, which are going to be gigantic prior to the World Cup. Fantastic news. Massive shot in the arm for the World Cup and the campaign in Australia against the American team. To have Simmons here, and that'll probably be a lever now for a couple of the other Australian-based NBA players who might have been, you know, umming and ahhing. Yeah, I think Simmons is the green light for them to fall into line and say, yep, we're coming if he's going. So, I think a cheers to him.
I want to cheers the Indigenous jumpers.
Oh, how good are they?
They've gone up another level.
Oh, they're awesome.
They look fantastic.
That's a great call.
How good's the Brisbane Lions one?
Oh, brilliant. And we had, again, we had Al Christensen on the show yesterday talking about, you know, the four boys whose stories and totems are represented on the jumper and how fundamental where they've come from, you know, is to the design.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the stories behind the designs. I think the stories behind them are as good as the designs, and they're both fantastic. I love them.
The ones I've seen so far, they've just stepped up a notch, and they've always been great, but this year they've just, I don't know, it's just like the players have become more invested in them.
Sure.
And they can, like you're saying, express themselves more than they ever have before.
Yeah.
And I reckon, we're really seeing some great designs out there.
It's a great call. Paul's in Camberwell. A cheer, not a jeer. Paul, who have you got for us?
G'day, lads. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
That's the way. Not a jeer, a cheer for Jarrad Roughead because the adversity of being dropped, such a champion, and then the way he conducted himself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You'd expect kind of nothing less from him, to be honest.
Do you reckon Ruben William at some point went, get off it, mate. You just got dropped. I don't want to hear from you.
That was
awesome. How good's Ruff?
I love him.
Just a great thing. If you're a young player and you're just thinking, you know, what do I need to do? And just to get coached by one of the best forwards to just go, mate, how about you run here or just a little bit of change of this? And then, you know, the next contest, he ragdolls him and takes a mark anyway.
Kicks his fifth.
Yeah.
No, well done. It's a good call, Paul. Ian's in Boulogne. A cheer, not a jeer. Who have you got for us?
Greg.
Yep.
I listened during the week, and one of the classiest exits of a good footballer that I've seen for a long while. He expressed interest in expressed interest in who they recruit and going to follow their career. Wouldn't it be interesting for players at this level, at this stage of the season, just before a draft, actually took interest and went through the interview process with whoever they were going to recruit in order to just add that little bit of extra bite?
Well, I think there's all of that, Ian. I think that's all part of, you know, his decision and the timing of it. And, no doubt, Richmond can go and find a player now they can, you know, maybe use. And the way they're going, even with this massive injury toll, they're still in the mix. And if they can get a few things right between now and, you know, the next 6, 7, 8 weeks, and you never know, the miracle of Rance. It's, you listen to people at Richmond, they can't believe how advanced he is.
Well, I guess you've just got to be thereabouts, don't you? As long as they make the finals and they get, don't tell me Alex Rance. I mean, he's good looking and his ACL can heal quicker than everyone else.
He actually is Superman.
That's not fair.
He actually is Superman. Luke's in Geelong. A cheer, not a jeer, Luke.
I'm going to give a cheer to Daniel Ricciardo. He made an ambitious move to join Renault this year, and he so far hasn't had much luck in the season.
Hey, so there, a little pump up for him.
Mm.
Good. I like it. Tony's in Endeavour Hills. Who have you got for us, Tone?
G'day, Andy. I want to give a cheer to Luke Beveridge, the way he spoke about Tom Boyd this morning. It was, I had a tear in my eye. He was more than a coach, was a father talking. Mike says he got some problems, so leave him alone.
I think that's a really good point, Tony. I think there was something far more at play than a coach losing a player today. I got the $100 voucher for the Dingley Hotel, mate, Boundary Road 334, coming your way, Tony.
And also the way that he not only defended Tom Boyd, but he went on the attack as to people who went after Tom Boyd, and I really liked that. I just thought it was just, like he was saying there, that was fatherly.
Yeah, and, you know, the people who are out there sending the messages to Tom Boyd, how heroic are they? How heroic are they feeling right now? You know, I mean, enough of that's been said on the way through this week, but I think people inside know exactly the sort of impact and toll that can take, not on everybody, but on some people. And it's clearly been, you know, a significant factor in Tom Boyd, and I think a real factor in what was behind Luke Beveridge today. Matt's in Parkdale. Before we find out where the money's going on the netties this weekend with Elliot Forbes again, Matty, what do you got?
Mate, there's only one bloke we should be really cheersing is Bob Hawke, mate. I mean, he was a great sportsman. I mean, he cheersed us often enough, mate, you know, so... I think it goes without saying. A big cheers to Bolt.
Yeah, no, I haven't mentioned the father of modern Australia. A lot of people have said in the eulogies today.
And a man who dared to try a hook shot without a helmet.
Yes.
That was one of my earliest memories of Hawkey. And you just go, that's a brave man.
Yeah, no.
And I reckon that kind of reflects his prime ministership.
To a degree, I think that's fair. Matty, it's a good call. It's a very good call. PointsBet's NBA early payout, 8 up at halftime, you win. Elliot Forbes rejoins us for a deeper dive into the horse racing on the weekend. Elliot, good to have you back. We touched on the Goodwood a bit earlier. Give us a deeper dive into the Group 1 over there in Adelaide tomorrow.
Yeah, mate, this is always a cracking race, the Goodwood. Over the 1,200... going to be a good four at Morphettville, which is always good to see. You can sometimes get some bog tracks this time of the year. Sprite, slightly easy. I thought it was super impressive last run, so I can't quite work it out. It has drawn barrier 16, but goes back, so I can't see it being too much of an issue. $3.20 out to $3.80, but still pretty well supported. Cool Passion has been smashed in. $12 earlier in the week, and now it's $6. Did run second last start. To Sprite and does meet her 2 kilos better off this time. So I think $6 is still a pretty exciting prospect for punters wanting to take on Sprite. Others that are probably worth a mention, Icon Clasm was fantastic last start at Caulfield and has dropped a couple of kilos as well. And Booker always does run well in the big Group 1 races. The Ellerton Zara stable always get him up for this $9.50 and has seen some support in this one as well. But looking forward to what is always a cracking race, the Goodwood.
What about the Doomben Cup?
Look, this one isn't as deep, unfortunately. Shaley pretty solid around the $7.50 quote. Gem Song sat wide last start at Doomben and never really got into the race. It was the leader's track last week, $8 into $5.50. I think can run a pretty big race. 60s Groove, for those that like a bit of value around the $12 quote, should be running on well at the end of the race. And Young Star, $4.80, and absolutely rock solid in this one.
And give us the points bet racing offer that you got rolling on the weekend.
We do. So Doomben, so the big carnival races are now up in Brisbane. So at Doomben, second and third, you're going to get your money back in bonus. So it's up to $50, and that's every single race at Doomben this Saturday. So run second or third, first fixed odds, win bet, get your money back in bonus, up to $50 if you run second or third.
Don't forget the points bets, NBA early payout, 8 up at halftime, you win. Elliot, have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
Rosie, I'll let you go. We're going to have about 10 seconds after the break. You don't need to hang around. Don't forget, watch him on Up the Guts with Lawrence Mooney after the footy tonight on Fox Footy. Have fun.
It's going to be great. Thanks for having me.
We'll be watching it. You'll see you. Hopefully, you'll be back next week as well. Great to have you with us this Friday afternoon. Adam Rosenbach's in the studio. Still no Paul Kaluja. He is slaying them. Metropolitan and regionally with the Wine Bluffs. If you haven't seen the show, you're letting yourself down. It is killing them. Sold out houses all through the Western Districts last week, and he continues on. So it's just Rosie and I. We're going to get to Cheers and Jeers a bit later on as well, but a heap of stuff to talk to Rosie about on the way through. Feel free to join in, 1-300-736-736. I know for a fact that Clarkie's sitting on some prizes out there. We've given nothing away. No, you have. We've given nothing away today, so he'll bring the prizes in at some stage, and good calls on the way through. This hour will be rewarded. Cam Luke's here. What am I doing? Hello to you, Rosie.
Oh, g'day, Andy. Thanks, mate.
I thought there was going to be a little music sting, but then I looked down. There's no music sting.
I don't even get music these days. I'm like the furniture in here. You don't care about me anymore.
You should ask for one of your own musical intros.
Oh, you think so?
No, you're allowed to have some of that heavy thrash metal stuff that you listen to, whatever we call it.
Okay, maybe I will.
Bit of death head or something, or I don't know.
Is that the name of the band? You think that's the name of the band?
Is that the name of the band? Death head?
It probably is, actually.
It probably is. Cam Luke is also here because we've been watching game two in the Western Conference Finals. Hard to get a real sense when you're busy doing your stuff on air, Cam, but I know you're going to be a bit busy after three today, so I appreciate you coming in. But that looked to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was. Portland had their chances, and hello, boys. This is the difference. As you know, when you get to the highest of sport, it's the moments that matter, and Golden State trailed by 15, 7 in the third quarter, all tied up at three-quarter time. But Portland, Rodney Hood was great. Seth Curry, Steph's brother, we're seeing history of two brothers playing against each other. It was so fun to watch. He was really good. He had 16 and hit some big threes in the fourth quarter. Had four steals, all from Steph.
But is that right?
Yeah, all from Steph. Yeah, it's a fact.
That's awesome.
But in the end, 37 points from Steph Curry. Draymond Green was the best player on the court. He was outstanding again. But an Andre Iguodala strip of Dame Lillard and the last 2 or 3 seconds meant that Golden State were able to eke another one out. And in the end, they go 2-0 up over the course of the Western Conference Finals.
I could hear your brain kicking again.
No, I don't follow the basketball, but I heard brothers called Seth and Steph.
That's it.
Has their mum ever been interviewed? Is she, how lazy?
you can interviewed on a bi-minutely basis at different times. Because their
Who's older?
Their dad. Steph's older. Seth's the younger one who had a better, not a better collegiate career, but went to the University of Duke. So it was a little more high profile. But Steph's older. He's one of the best players in the world. But Seth, in the little brother's shadow, and in fact, their parents, their dad played in the NBA. His name is Del Curry. And what they're doing, they are wearing singlets that on one, so he'll, on, I think today he had Portland on the front, Golden State on the back, and his wife is the opposite, and they're changing over.
Oh, how
it's beautiful. I love it. I thought your brain was, because we like quirky talkback calls with you.
Yes.
And given the fact that Seth has embarrassed Steph a couple of times on the court today, I thought you might have gone, okay, times that you've embarrassed your brother or your sister.
Oh, okay. No, that's not where I just enjoyed the laziness of the names.
Parents. Yeah.
Where are we at? Because I don't follow the basketball. Is this the semifinals?
No. This is the quarters. This is the what would be the prelim in an AFL. So we're into the East and West Conference Finals. The two winners over a 7-game series will play off in the NBA Finals.
You with us?
Yes, so we've got four teams left, and today it was Golden State who are now 2-0 up. And tomorrow, Milwaukee and Toronto, game two are there.
I don't mind the idea of if you've humiliated your brother or your sister in a sporting or contest, a contest of some description somewhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind taking some calls on that, because I reckon this gives the righteous one the opportunity to say something in a public forum like ours.
Okay. Cameron Cloak, give us a call if you're out there.
Right. Damian Lillard, Cam, just doesn't seem to be able to. He's not having the impact in terms of a point scored that I think Paul... Is that a fair call?
Very fair. 23 today. Didn't score until 3 minutes, just over 3 minutes left in the first half. They've got CJ McCollum. So, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, backcourt, the best backcourt, best two guards in the league. But Lillard and McCollum aren't very far behind them. So, it's not 100% even, it's a fair match. But McCollum was great in Game 7. Lillard just isn't getting his shots. They're not allowing him. The way they're defending him, and Andre Iguodala guarded him late in the fourth quarter, the way they're defending him and throwing a double team at him every now and then means he's not getting a great amount of shots. He averages just over 23 shots a game in the season and in the playoffs, and he only had 16 again today. So while he's not shooting at a great clip, 6 of 16, he's just not getting the shots up that he traditionally has. So they've guarded him really well of getting the ball out of his hands and saying, hey, McCollum, Hood, Seth Curry, someone else has got to beat us. And right now it hasn't worked.
Is it all over? Is it all over in the West?
Look,
are you calling it?
Yeah, look.
Are you calling it?
Yeah,
we're going to be a lot of calling things tomorrow.
I think Portland will win a game in Portland if they continue to play this well.
Yep.
No Kevin Durant, no DeMarcus Cousins for at least one more week. I'd be stunned if Kevin Durant played in this particular series. So that's the two games in Portland. It wouldn't stun me if Portland won a game in Portland, but Golden State will be in the NBA
Finals. Did Andrew Bogut do anything today?
He played 4 minutes.
Yep.
Played 4 minutes of the stay started. Played 4 minutes, didn't come back on. Kevon Looney had 14 points coming off the bench, played really, really well. So he took all his minutes after that. So Looney's been good. So he may get the start in game three, but Andrew Bogut 4 minutes and then didn't come back on.
Game two in the East tomorrow?
Game two East tomorrow, 10:30 on 1377 SEN Plus, game from about 10:45.
You're the busiest man in Australia, my friend. Keep going.
Back after three, talking about intriguing games this weekend.
Good. Looking forward to it.
As your Blues. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Cam, Luke. Keeping you across everything that's going on in the NBA playoffs. Don't forget, we love catching up with Jeremy Howe every Friday. Rosie, you would have spent some time at the Preston Hotel, wouldn't you, at some stage down the track?
I have done a few gigs through there. It's a great venue.
Get in there, watch the footy all weekend, 635 High Street, Preston. If you've ever got one over your brother or your sister in a sporting contest, feel free to let us know. What else has been going on in your world?
I got a haircut this morning.
I noticed this.
Yeah.
I noticed.
So I went in there and I was sitting down with my hairdresser, and there was a young kid in there who was about 3 or 4 years of age, and this little fella, his name was Thomas, and he was losing his mind, like hysterically screaming. Like, it was pretty annoying. It sounded like someone had pinched him on the back of the arm, which eventually I did.
That would hurt. Yes, right.
Which, you know, gave him a reason to scream. But I don't remember getting a haircut outside of the house until I was at least 10.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're bringing back a shocking memory.
So all it was you'd sit in front of the telly because we're in the living room, so it was lino floor, and Mum would put the towel over you.
Yep.
And then she would just cut around your features.
Yep.
And that was the end of it. And every school photo I had had a butchered haircut until I was at least 10 or 11. I never, ever went to a hairdresser. I did not have product in my hair until I went to high school. Right. And now you see kids with spiky hair, they've got their sunglasses on, and knock it off their head. Right. You should have poofy little crap hair like I had.
Oh, mate, if you go to any class or cricket photo or footy team photo up until about 1990, early 90s, I reckon,
yep.
there is not a hairstyle.
No.
That's just hair.
And so my mum, she would wet our hair and then she would cut mine just above my my eyebrows. But I have a cowl lick. So as soon as it dried, it just went up on an angle.
Horrific. So hairdressing disasters.
Disasters. Home hairdressing disasters. Did you ever get your ears nicked?
Oh.
When the old man did it, it was.
No. The worst thing ever. 1-300-736-736. You got any home hairdressing haircut disasters?
Or even, you know, people who've gone to dye it. Yeah, because remember,
I never did it, but yeah, go on.
Mid-90s, the peroxide.
Oh, yeah, the lemon sort of rinse that was going through
that
hair.
Was the other thing that people put through?
It's true. My mum had this thing, and if anybody can remember this, if anyone's old enough to remember these things, I think it was one of those things that you call 1-300 now for this on the TV type ad thing.
Yep.
It was a comb. It was a plastic, hard, thick plastic comb.
Yeah.
And it had the big, thick teeth.
Yes.
But you'd put in the teeth a blade.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah,
and you'd comb.
Comb and it would cut.
It was like
a razor blade.
Exactly.
Almost like what you do with a sheep.
Very much so.
Yeah. And that would hack.
Oh, mate. Did you ever have it happen?
Yeah, I reckon we did have that because I remember it kind of pulled as it cut.
It hurt like, but it was the most pain. And you just knew you had no choice. Like, sit
that
down.
That was the thing, yeah.
Shirt off,
yeah.
Towel around the shoulders, in the kitchen,
yeah.
Sit there and cop it sweet.
So it was me and my brother and my sister. No matter how long everyone's hair was, we all went through at the same time.
Mate.
Although my sister's was a little bit longer, but she still had the bowl across the front. It was the worst hairstyle that everyone rocked in the 70s and the 80s.
But there was no such – there just wasn't any such thing as a hairstyle back in the day. Like for kids, no one wasted their time. No kids had any – they might have had ego, but it wasn't like little kids run around nowadays. They spend thousands of dollars in their lifetime on haircuts.
I think the first product I probably had access to would have been Mum's mousse in the 80s. And I would have put that through the hair at some point.
Without her knowing?
Oh, she would have noticed that she was going through it a lot quicker than she used to.
How did it go?
Well, mate, it was the 80s. I just used to spike it up and have the little mullet out the back.
Nice, Rosie.
Like sticks.
Have you got some photos of this? Can you bring them in next week and we'll post them?
Yeah.
Please do.
I can do that.
If you've got any horror stories about getting your hair cut at home, and if you can remember what that thing was called, it was absolutely horrific. Jeremy's in Mount Gambier. Give us your home haircut horror story, Jeremy.
How you going there, boys?
Good mate. Jeremy.
I used to have to endure the old bowl cut every 6 months. So my mum would put a bowl on my head and cut around the bowl and leave the hair on top long and the rest of it short.
So literally put a bowl on your head, Jeremy?
Yeah, literally put a bowl on my head and just cut around the bowl to make it all straight and then shave around underneath it.
Look at Jeremy, just behind Rosie and I, we've got young kids who work at the bowl. Well, they're about 22 or something, young girls. Have a look at that. They are laughing their heads off. They are completely incredulous that a mother or a father would do this to their child, and yet this was absolutely commonplace.
There was no way Dad was wasting money on my hair.
No way, no. There's no chance you were going to a hairdresser.
The kid that was getting his hair cut today, that would have been at least $40. And there was no way that my old man would go near. Anything more than $3 was a waste of money.
At least $40.
Yeah.
Oh, at least $40.
What about your kids? Where do they get their hair cut?
No. They get it thin. No, there's nothing going on yet. But they're 9, 8, and 5, so they're... Oregon is coming.
Your wife cuts their hair for
you? No, we take them to a hairdresser, but it's only to get it thinned out and just, get the
Did you have those,
pretty straightforward
you know,
stuff.
Those scissors that kind of hacked into your hair, the thinning scissors?
No, mate, this thing was honestly.
Is that all you had?
Actually, I'm getting the shakes thinking about this thing.
Sorry to hear about that.
It was terrible. I can't believe. Jeremy, you're in Mount Gambier, so it's too far away to give you a game of golf in Melbourne. Andrew's in, but thanks for the call. Andrew's in Boronia. Home haircut horror story, Andrew.
Afternoon, boys. When I was a kid, I was lucky enough that one of Mum's friends was a hairdresser, so most of the time I'd get a haircut from her. But Mum used to work Sundays at the pub. She was a single mother, and my babysitter was a second-year apprentice hairdresser.
Oh, yeah.
And Mum said, oh, yeah, give it a go. So while she was at work, she started cutting my hair, and then she started going round and round and round as it got shorter and shorter. And then she took me to the pub to drop me off to Mum, who was finishing work, and pulled up out the front and said, you go in, I'll just go and park the car. We never saw her again. And as I walked in the pub to say hello to Mum, I heard gasps from the publican and other people. And from then on, I had the nickname of Galen from Planet of the Apes for about 6 months.
I remember that haircut of that ape. Yeah, horror story. Andy, do you play golf?
Yes, mate.
Right, I've got a round of four, yourself included, obviously, including a cart, Club Mandalay. Go and play one of the great... one of the great courses in Melbourne's northern suburbs.
Now, someone here on the text is saying it sounds like your mum was using a comb for knits, but no, that was the really fine steel one. Oh, yeah. That was a different comb.
I can honestly say I've never had knits.
Really?
No, but knits now. Look, we get an alert, you know, through the school.
Yeah.
Once every 6 weeks, knits. And then you've got to go through the whole knit treatment. And you're scratching your head just
instinctively. Scratch my head. I scratch elsewhere as well.
That's different.
It must be horrible as a teacher. You'd get knits all the time.
Oh, horrific. Oh, horrible.
See, bouncing off the kids.
Oh, imagine that. You lean over to help them with the schoolwork and they're right there.
Grubby little kids.
Oh, disgusting. Jeff's in Mornington. Home haircut horror story, Jeffrey.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Jeff. Right.
Okay, mate, this is not a home one, but I used to go to a school down in Mentone Grammar, a long, long time ago.
Yes.
And there used to be this teacher, Mr. Lobb. Anyway, we had our own barber. So assembly day, if your hair, and it had to be short back and sides, you used to have to wear. And if your hair was a little bit long, you'd get the tap on the shoulder, come with me. And here's this guy in this, he's got his own room, his own barber chair.
What?
And, I don't even reckon he was a barber.
Right.
So he'd sit you down and you'd be looking and there's chunks of hair flying off everywhere. And he'd say, okay, that's 5 minutes. There's bits of hair everywhere. You'd walk out and the head was down. It was like the walk of shame.
Oh,
man, it was a tragedy.
It's like a butcher shop. Oh, no.
I don't know. A teacher that's got his own chair. No, there's something evil about that.
No, yeah. So that just sounds and feels all wrong.
Yeah, that chair's been used for something else.
Hey, Jeff, you sound like there's some bad memories there you need to get rid of. I've got a $100 voucher. Thanks to the Dingley Hotel. Go and have a feed and a couple of quiet beers at some stage and enjoy yourself, mate. Get rid of those bad memories. Jonathan's in Carlton. Give us your haircut horror story, Jonathan.
G'day, boys. So until I was about 11 or 12, I used to get the haircuts at home, and I had, you know, really tight curly hair, but it was everywhere.
Yeah.
It was a big buff of a mop.
Yeah.
And in about 1981, I was about 13 years old, and the mullet was in. It just come in. So my dad had a business at High Point Shopping Centre, so I ducked up to the hairdressers, and it wasn't called the mullet then, but I said I wanted that hairstyle. So they did it. They shaved the sides. You know, made it all long in the back, did all that. I was very, very happy with the haircut. Walked back down to me dad where the business was. He took one look, and I'm not kidding, dragged me through High Point Shopping Centre by the ear, right? Not kidding. Took me back to the hairdressers, sat me in the chair, yelled at all the hairdressers and said, cut his hair like a man. Otherwise, I'm going to destroy this place.
He's handled it well. We used to call that haircut with the tight curls and the mullet. We used to call that the cobra. Yeah, that was the Cobra because it had a bit of a buff at the front and then the wing like was fleshed out at the side.
Who's the actor? There's the actor that's rocking it these days. Guy played the baseball guy and dark-headed bloke. Got the most. Someone will remember his
Wayne
name.
Carey back in the day used to have a pretty good. He used to have a good Cobra.
Yes, he did. Wayne Carey was rocking the Cobra back in the day.
Buddha Hocking.
Yes, he did.
He had a great Cobra.
No, there's an actor, there's a comedy actor out there who played. Kenny. What's his name?
Eastbound and Down.
That's him.
Yeah,
what's
right.
What's his name?
I know who. Kenny Powers.
Kenny Powers.
Yes,
he's rocking the Cobra.
Yeah, that's a Cobra.
That's a Cobra.
Yeah.
A feeling for you, Jonathan. Brendan, Horsham would be riddled with bad haircut stories, wouldn't it, over the journeys. Brendan's in Horsham. What do you got for us?
Hang on, boys. Hang on. No, at that stage, I grew up down near Terang.
Oh, well.
So we went to school on a school bus. So, you know, I've got a dairy farmer's sons and daughters. But Jack Kline used to do the – he was the local barber in Terang. And he'd have – Saturday morning, country boys only. So there'd be about 10 of us lined up. Because the city boys, the town boys could get their hair cut after school. But the country boys had to come in on a Saturday morning to get the short back and sides with the Brill cream. Oh, it was just...
Brendan, that sounds like a police lineup of the future.
Oh, yeah, we were just lining up and then Jeff was... Then we'd go to the pub 10 years later.
Of course you would.
Talk about it.
And there you go. With the same haircut, same hairstyles, Brendan, or have they moved on by then?
Oh, no, then there was the mullets and the, all that sort of stuff as well in the late 70s. It was terrible.
Good stuff, mate. Sorry to bring back some bad memories. Last one before we get to a break, Chris Mel, we'll get to on the other side of the break as well with some horror haircut stories. Pete, give us your tale of woe.
So my auntie was getting married and I was about 10 years old and my old lady said, go next door to the professional haircutters, get me hair cut. And I decided to shave my head bald and I was in a bridal party. I had to call my auntie and absolutely got reamed by my mum and absolutely abused. And yeah, basically had to ring up my auntie and explain what I'd done wrong. And
you want to look like the Hitler Youth in your suit.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And, yeah, my auntie didn't mind, but, yeah, my mum could have killed me.
Oh, sure, she would have. Send us through the photos, mate. More of your stories on the other side of this Hazard Road. Adam Rosenbach's in the studio talking haircut horror stories. Don't forget, grab your AFL footy record. This weekend stood us $5 thanks to Karcher, the official 2019 partner of the AFL record. Adam Rosenbach's in the studio talking horrible haircut stories. Homemade haircut horror stories.
So we're hearing that what your mum used to use on you was either the K-Tel Hair Magician or the Comb-O-Matic.
I think it was the K-Tel Hair Magician because they were the big television.
What a name, the Hair Magician.
Oh, mate, and somebody said before, he's spot on, mum used to use the white comb thing, the razor blade. It basically just pulled the hair out, and it kind of did.
Well, it yanked just, and then cut.
Yep.
No, I think we had it because I know that pain.
It was just I was the most... horrible, horrible feeling.
And also, it would just hack at your hair. Like, it wasn't a clean cut. So it just butcher it.
It just kind of took layers out.
Yeah.
It didn't really cut your hair.
No.
It's just kind of, we'll just thin it out a bit, you know?
Chopped into it.
Oh. Honestly.
Look at you. No,
it's not good.
You've got PTSD.
It's no good, mate. Wendy's in Upper Beaconsfield. You got a story about haircuts, Wendy? Hello there, Wendy.
Hi.
Oh, gee whiz, Wendy. Fire. He drums out. Yeah, gotcha. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry.
All
my
right.
Mum has one of those hair magicians.
Yeah, no good, and, right? No good.
Yep. And no good. She started on my brother. Thank God she started on my brother. She actually took 4 days before she gave up and stopped. His hair looked like the moths had got to it. He had bald patches all over his head. And the top of it, honestly, he looked like my dad who was balding. So luckily he had the first experience and she decided not to do mine.
So, Wendy, what do you mean 4 days? Like he was in so much pain the first day that she gave him a little bit of a break and came back again over 4 days.
Such a mess of it, she thought, I'll try again tomorrow and I might be able to fix up the mistakes that I've made today.
Wendy, there's too many bad memories coming back. We've got to stop talking about this hair magician thing. It was no good. More haircut stories after the latest from the newsroom.